This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. This is a three times weekly audio show looking into the exciting happenings of Ipswich Football Club, available on video and podcast. My name is Benjamin Bloom. I'll be here each and every Monday for this, the flagship show with ITFC aficionados. Today, Ipswich, Joe Fares.
Hello.
For a sometimes irreverent but always informative hour of football conversation. So make your Monday a Blue Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome from the wonderfully popular preview. I was going to go, Rich, you're Andy Much to Harry's Steve Bull. Is that an insult?
Whoosh. I mean, that's a reference I don't even get, Ben. So,
welcome, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm okay. We'll talk about why we're all a little bit on edge in just a second. Joe Fares, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Cheers.
He's brought out the FA Cup winners.
Yeah, the 78 one.
1978 one. So, look, let's not, the vast beach-sized elephant in the room, let's not ignore it. So, this is quite a difficult one for us to pitch because we want our podcast to be fun and not depressing. But Kevin Beattie has died today at the age of 64, widely regarded as Ipswich Town's greatest ever player by anyone who saw him. Now, the decision that we've made is that myself, Rich and Joe have agreed that being we have David Diamond on our podcast team, it would be a little bit ridiculous for us to talk about him because Dave is pretty unmatched in that area. So we are going to do a tribute show. So this week in ITFC history, which we should record tomorrow, I think, is going to be a Kevin Beattie special. And we thought it was right that Dave did that, being he's done his profiles and things before that have been so well received. So obviously, horrible news, a real titan of the club. Just quickly, Joe, a quick little bit on Kevin Beattie from your perspective.
Well, I'm obviously too young to have seen him play, but everyone who I have spoken to has seen him play. Just the sort of names he gets mentioned alongside from Bobby Robson, with like Gazza, Ronaldo, Duncan Edwards, sort of real true greats of the game. And just a shame that injury robbed him of what could have been an all-time great career. But just, like I say, a shame. I could never see him play. I've met him a number of times. He's always a guy that had time for every fan. He was, while he wasn't from Ipswich, he was a true Ipswich boy by the end, and it's a big loss to the club and the community.
Richard?
Yeah, I echo that again. Didn't manage to see him play, but you know, the fact that the greats of the game on Twitter this evening are retweeting the club's kind of condolence message is a symbol of that. I went digging through footage for the video that we put out just before, and there's some great Barry Davis commentary where he goes, look at the power, and listed Dave's profile as well, and that's the player, isn't it? You know, pace, power, heading ability, had it all, did he? And unfortunately, he didn't, you know, isn't renowned, kind of world renowned like maybe he should be.
And if you want to smile in your sadness, because this never fails to make me smile, just play his goal against West Brom and tell me that that's not funny when he just goes through and smashes it. The one I always, Dave gets fed up of me talking about, is the goal against Scotland for England, where Keegan has it on the right wing and the chances of a goal are about 0.01%. He loops it into the box. Beattie's playing left back, runs in, brutalises the defender. He's about 10 yards out and he heads it right into the top corner. And it's just absolute force of nature. Again, I never saw him play, so, but looking into Dave's eyes and hearing his voice when he talks about him, obviously very special and a big part of a lot of our listeners' sort of childhoods and fandom of football has died today. So very, very sad news. Please get your tweets in. We've put a tweet out. But Statman has also done so. So if you have any memories or any tributes you want to pay to Kevin Beattie, who died today aged 64, send them through. Okay, and here comes the hardest transition in podcast history. Again, as respectfully as we can. The Beat love to talk about Ipswich, so the show must go on, and we're going to move on, trying not to make it too clunky, and just say please tune in to... I'm sure Dave and Statman will have something really special tomorrow. Joe, news comes out this week that Cole Skews was out cold for 90 seconds in the Norwich game, neck brace and all. I'm coming to you because you're an NFL fan. Just talk to me just a little bit about concussions and where you can see this going, because you shouldn't go to work and be knocked out for 90 seconds.
Well, if it's going to follow the lead of the sort of NFL, which I imagine it will at some point, they have a neutral doctor there who comes in, and the player has to prove to the neutral doctor that he is not concussed effectively. Because if you are concussed,
let me play on.
You have to come straight.
Tommy Orr.
You hear all these stories about Brian Clough where they sort of say he can't remember who he is. And it's like, well, tell him he's Peleing, tell him to get on with Ben's. And while they're funny anecdotes, sort of, there's sort of a seriousness which probably someone like Jeff Astle's family would tell you about now, where they're looking into it and sort of find out that he basically had CTE, which is the concussion sort of issue that the American football players are having. And I imagine that at some point in the future, you're going to have to prove to a neutral doctor, and you're going to be allowed to have effectively a free sub come on. Not a U sub, just an injury replacement, which isn't going to be a tactical or go against your squad. Would be imagined that's where it will go.
Heading going to be banned ever?
I wouldn't surprise if it's banned in youth football. I think it already is in America. They ban heading in youth football, and whether players will begin to wear helmets, like sort of not helmets, but like Peter Cech did, scrum caps almost, where, like I say, it's almost going to be, I don't know, junior football will be the first to see it go, and I imagine it will, and we'll see from there.
Richard, there's a really good add on that. It was a BBC documentary, I think, last year, where Shearer did. I think he met Jeff Astle's family, didn't he? And I don't think he would be particularly surprised if football's kind of outlawed, or there's some kind of protection equipment needed for heading quite soon. I mean, the Skews incident was a bit. No one saw it in the North Stand that I was with. It just sort of came out of the blue. So, but yeah, I mean, just sensible to get out of there, really, and get out of the melee.
Well, we've delayed long enough. Should we go to Hull?
Let's.
How long were we all in the car for combined yesterday?
This is the benefit of living halfway up the country, is at least. Oh. And I don't know about, I guess, Joe, you had the A14 like the coaches had to deal with as well. So.
No, I actually went up through the Fens. So it took me about 4 hours via sort of King's Lynn through the middle of Lincoln to relive our FA Cup defeat and up there.
You should have jumped on a boat. That's probably easier.
Yeah, no, I think. All in all, in the car, it was probably about 8.5 hours yesterday.
Not good at all. Yeah. So off we go to Hull, where we never win and we didn't win. So let me give you the Hull lineup, and then you can pick the bones, in the words of Terry Butcher, out of the Ipswich lineup. So, Rich, you guys pretty much nailed this, as you always do. I'm going to stop going to the games soon. I'll listen to the preview show and I'm right. 1-0, 2-0 defeat. Yeah, there we go. Marshall in goal. Back four, you'd speculate, might be a back three. So Burke moved over to right back. Elphick came in. DeVries, who was better than you said he was going to be, I have to say that. Kingsley, left back. Henriksen and Batty sitting in midfield. Bowen right. Evandro, centre. Kane off to the left. Fraser Campbell up front. Right, let me read you this Ipswich team, and you imagine you don't have hindsight. Tell me what you thought of this lineup. So Gherkin in goal, as we were told on Thursday. Spence keeps his place from Norwich. Pennington keeps his place from Norwich. Chambers, Knudsen. Flynn Downes comes in next to Cole Skew. So John Nolan was sat there against Norwich. Nolan moves back towards the 10 position. Edwards, thank God for Edwards, right. Jordan Graham keeps his place after Norwich. I'll buy Gherkin and Spence. And John Walters, we said, will he end up in the 9 position? He did. Richard, what did you make of that lineup when you saw it?
I'm still disappointed that Danasian seems to be the loney that's sacrificed. We were in a bit of speculation beforehand about that in terms of, I think Joe, you might have posted about this on TWTD the other day, that if Danasian's not playing, that must suggest there's something issue with the work permit. That's the only thing I can suggest. But I'd rather Danasian there. He started the season, got better and better. Downs coming in, I wasn't surprised by, I was quite pleased with, because I thought he did well in the second half against Norwich. Graham, though, I quite like Aidan at left wing. So, but the rest of it, I'm not sure there was much to gripe about.
Joe, is this Hurst being loyal? Because Gherkin did well against Norwich and Spence did well against Norwich. Is he just, oh, you played okay? And Pennington as well. Is that the reason for the selection?
I presume so, but I'm not sure he knows what he's doing at the moment with regards to selection. It seems sort of very up and down and back and forth, and he hasn't really seemed to settle on anything. Personally, I'd play Bart every time ahead of Gherkin. I know we knew Gherkin was going to be starting, so it wasn't a surprise. I assumed Spence would because he'd done all right against Norwich, but I'd have put Danasian back in there. Downs, I was pleased to see him start because I think he did well, but I don't really see what Eden has done wrong to have dropped out the side since Sheffield Wednesday. And even I thought Chalobah did well against Norwich in the second half. And it seems that Danasian, Eden and Chalobah have been three of our sort of better players at times, but yet these three seem to have been dropped. I don't understand that.
Possibly reach a 7-day plan though, 3 games that you might only see Edwards, Walters, Knudsen and Chambers and Gherkin start all of those games. Anything in that?
Perhaps. I guess if... Yeah, I mean, so what are the changes going to be for Brentford? Is this going to be kind of back to the days of the previous manager where we kind of write off fixtures and chuck in the reserves again? You know, on Tuesday you guess Brentford a game that we're not favourites for. Then maybe you re-strengthen for the next game on Saturday against Bolton, but I don't know. I agree with Joe. It does feel like there's a little bit of inconsistency there, and it's difficult. Someone on Twitter said it's like Paul Jewell all over again, which I guess is quite an insult, to be honest. But you can't dismiss it, can you?
No. What you can't dismiss either is that Ipswich were a goal down. I have my pad. Let's show the world my pad. You have the lineup on one side, and the first thing I wrote down was a goal. Who did we say was having the first goal? Sorry.
I think it's me. Yeah.
Yeah, away you go, Rich. 3 minutes in. And Flynn Downes, as David Diamond would say, is about to drop a bollock.
He is. And I was really careful not to swear when I was on the flagship show a few weeks ago. I might not be so lucky this time around. Did you manage to catch the Chambers post-match, by the way? Because
yes,
Chambers
did,
post-match was really cryptic and quite tricky for him to navigate through, by the sound of it. But he called out whoever passed the ball to Downs in the first place, which was Knudsen. And having watched it back, I'm not sure it's a particularly bad pass, but it goes wrong for Downs as soon as he turns backwards and goes towards goal. I'm not sure there was anything forwards for him, but maybe if he hoofs it forward or gives it back to Knudsen, then he's unlikely to get his pocket picked. But nevertheless, he is. And Bowen's quick and Fraser's off. And Downs is kind of slow to pick up on the run from, I guess, Bowen, who's picked his pocket. I couldn't see Knudsen. Knudsen's gone missing as well. So this is like a catalogue of errors. Downs gets into the box. Campbell gets into the box. And Bowen's left and dinks it over Gherkin, who's out rushing. And I'm not sure you can put a huge amount of blame on Gherkin. And then Pennington's dashing back. And with perhaps his wrong foot, is trying to clear it off the line, and nothing happens, and then it slides, and we're 1-0 down, and nothing's bloody happened. It was a real sucker punch in the start of the game. It hadn't even started.
Joe?
Yeah, I am. After Chambers' comments, I actually looked back at the footage on the Quest EFL show, and when you look at it, effectively, Knudsen has Graham down the line. But he's sort of a little bit slow on the touch, so he doesn't go to Graham. He comes inside to Downs. Downs' ball should be to Graham again, who's totally unmarked. He turns inside, and as soon as you see him take that touch, Campbell is just in on him, and Downs, Knudsen is caught 10 yards ahead of play. And we're just so open, and Downs loses Bowen as a runner as well. So I think Chambers is almost calling out Knudsen for the ball inside, which had Knudsen been a bit quicker and a bit more positive, he may not have played. But Downs still had...
This is just Chambers protecting a young guy, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I put some screenshots on my Twitter about an hour ago just of it, so you can have a look to see how it looked. But Downs, there's no way you should be conceding a goal from the situation where Downs is receiving the ball.
No, and there's three mistakes there, isn't there, from Downs, unfortunately. And you know he is culpable, but you know this was a pattern. We'll come back to this. We're so slow to the ball, and any 50-50 was going against us yesterday as well, and that just set the scene, didn't it?
Well, Rich, for over the next 10 minutes, every Hull chance I'm going to describe either comes from a goal kick or from them pressing our midfield and us giving the ball away. Every single chance. It's not set plays in this game. It's
no
press our team and take the ball off them.
Which is exactly what I thought we were supposed to be good at, or Hurst's teams were supposed to be good at. So, yeah, and to have it done to us.
I know we laugh at Nigel Atkins, but he was there in his Topshop suit, and his only instruction, he was just getting him to press the whole game. Did you see him? I was sat behind him. Literally, there was no pointing or anything. It was literally get up, press on our midfield. And perhaps tactically, when you've got that line of three and then for the other side of the ball, the amount of times they managed to get particularly Bowen, not Kane so much, in that area between the line of our back midfield running on without even... what does Jurgen Klopp say? He says a good press is better than the greatest playmaker in the world because it take you 10 passes to get into that position that they got into just by pressing. Anyway, more of that later. 15, Edwards wins the corner. Graham puts into the back post. We tried this against Norwich and Skews messed it up. This was much better. So Skews heads it back over. And I think Nolan should have hit the target here. He comes in and kind of tries to over... Well, I think he over-engineers it and heads it wide. I thought it was a good chance. And we talked a lot about the set plays, everybody, after the playoff final. But that's one that's worked twice. So fair dues to Skews and Graham for that one. 17, we nearly concede the exact same goal again. So Chambers gets caught out this time. Campbell feeds Bowen. Now you two would have had a much better view of this than me. Why didn't he pull the trigger there? Was he waiting for Chambers to touch him so he could go down for the pen?
I don't think he was waiting for Chambers. I just think he got caught in two minds and took that extra touch when he didn't need it. The shot was definitely on, but I think he was expecting either Gherkin to come out or another player to be up there with him, but there was no one up there, and he just took a touch and ended up going nowhere.
And I love Chambers, but he was a bit. What word do I use? A bit wayward yesterday, wasn't he? Moving on, third phase from the corner. Burke gets the header on goal. Easy save for Gherkin. Bowen near post corner here. Evandro glances it over in front of you guys. Two more corners to Hull on 32. They try the Tottenham. Old Teddy Sheringham won, and Elphick's shot is... DeVise's shot is blocked, and Elphick heads over. And we get up to 36.
Ben, just quickly on the corners, Ben. We were talking about, you know, how we were frail at the back and set pieces were worry. I wouldn't say actually we successfully defended a corner. They just didn't score from them. There was
really
quite a lot of loose marking still. And there was still, you know, we could have conceded from those corners had they not been on target. So it wasn't as if we were better more effective at getting rid of them. We were just fortunate that they were profligate.
Yeah, that Evandro header, there was no one within 3 yards of him.
Okay. This is horrible.
It gets better. No, it doesn't get better.
Spoiler alert.
Walters wins a free kick Joe Garner style, you know, where you back in a Grant Holt style and fall over. And Jordan Graham kicks it straight out of play. And you're thinking, oh, my God, how bad can this get? But literally now, the only... The only bright spot of this entire game is from minute 38 to minute 45 plus stoppage time. So this is great play down the right. One-touch stuff. Spence gets Nolan in. Finally gets in the 10 position between the lines. He feeds Walters, who feeds Graham. There's a bit of a sense that Graham's never going to go on his left foot, so the defender stands him up. But he does. The defender is scared of him, and he is standing off. Maybe that's because he's in the box. Graham engineers it onto his right and curls it wide, probably should have hit the target. The next little passage coincides with Knudsen getting up the pitch, and actually the team's being driven forward by the fullback, which I found strange and didn't reflect well on Spence, because Spence did not do that at all yesterday. But I was impressed with Knudsen in this passage, and he gets forward, it's recycled out to Graham, cross goes in, half cleared to Nolan. Left foot half volley, middle of the goal, smashes it over. So two good chances there.
Just hits it too hard, doesn't he, that? Yeah. Just tries to hit the skin off it.
Yeah. Stewart comes in for Batty. I don't know what happened to Batty, but Stewart comes in.
Did we get to the bottom of whether he's a relation of David or not? That was an issue on the preview show. And I had Wikipedia up on the whilst we were recording. Didn't find it. Was asking people at the ground. Anyone know? We assume not.
From what I hear on other football podcasts, David Batty is off the grid. He doesn't deal with banks. He only deals with...
Is that ever since that Quintley day pre score? Like, hasn't lived it down.
I heard about that penalty as well, but he didn't really care. He's like, whatever, I missed it now. Great play from Graham on 43. He picks it up on the right, drifts across, the whole world shouting, give it to Edwards, but he keeps going and he puts in a really nice crossing, which actually frees Edwards up. The ball rolls out. Edwards sprints in. It's a really good block from the defender there. That was goal bound. Was the first, we'll come to you, Joe, was the first 35 minutes the worst we've played all season? I wasn't at Exeter second half.
That's the worst I've seen us all season. We didn't win a header. We didn't get to a second ball. It seemed like they're talking about we needed to pass the ball, but the defenders never passed the ball to the midfielders. Chambers and Pennington did not pass the ball to Skuse and Nolan and Downs at all. They sort of move. I'm not saying their movement's brilliant, but they go in between the lines looking to receive a pass, and they never receive the ball. So if they do actually receive the ball, it's so late on that the only option is to go straight back to them because it's so slow. And then basically the midfielders pass it to the defenders, and the defenders look long. And that was just the same way all game. And in that sort of 7-minute spell where we looked all right, there was a couple of times where we actually passed quickly through the lines. Nolan makes a lot of movement sort of as a 10. I'm not saying he's been brilliant so far because he has flattered to deceive a little bit. But if you actually watch him sort of for a few minutes, he does make a lot of runs, finds a lot of spaces. No one plays the ball into him. And I think a couple of times in the second half, Knudsen played him straight into his feet. And you sort of turn and you've taken their whole midfield out in one pass. But we just don't seem willing to make that pass or to do it quickly.
Rich?
Yeah, in terms of the original question, yeah. I've seen Quest quite a few times this season, and it was just more that Hull aren't very good, and we made them look pretty decent, pretty effective. And I think that was the biggest issue for me, is there were bits of play where Hull's passing and, you know, the ball's going out of play and all that kind of stuff, a really dour atmosphere. And we're just quite happy to kind of settle into that and let that happen to us. And it took us all, you know, 35 minutes before anything happened. Yeah, hard to think of a worse performance we've seen so far this season.
And as I've already alluded to, the tactical genius of run more than the opponents and give it to Bowen. Yeah? That beat us. There we go. I actually quite enjoy these championship games now when they bottom out. That 45-55 was disgusting, wasn't it? Absolutely disgusting, the start of the second half. And Hull, Chambers mentioned it as well. Hull start drawing fouls and slowing down the tempo, and it was very Phil Parkinson versus the previous manager, wasn't it? Where are we going to? 56. Edwards crosses from the right over Walter's head. Graham comes in. He's in the 6-yard box. Miscontrols it. Rich, are we giving him the benefit of the doubt? Bounced up at him?
I'm not. I think he should sweep that in first time. But
what
then
would
maybe
John
that's
Walk have done?
John Wall
scored,
would have
scored.
Hit it first time, wouldn't he? Slide it into the net.
Unbelievable.
Graham was a weird one yesterday. I don't know what you guys thought. He had really good moments, and then for the rest of it, he was pretty, not particularly good. It was kind of very spiky, I thought, performance from Graham yesterday. He got in good positions, but just brain let him down, I think, when it counted.
Next phase of that attack, Downs 20 yards out, but he screws the right foot wide. Curving cross from the right back position from Burke. Campbell glances that wide. Chambers gets caught stepping out. Bowen in behind him again. Slides it to Campbell. Low right foot, a gentle one. Gherkin makes the save and spills it. Knudsen's in the 6-yard box on his right foot. He goes across the goal. Just get rid of it. But fair dues to Jonas. He's getting a pass from me yesterday. He clears it. And I mean, I've got no problem with Gherkin spilling that. You make the save by hook or by crook. And if they don't score, it's effective goalkeeping for me.
It's Gherkin 101, though, to palm it back into danger, though, isn't it? I mean, that we have seen that before.
We have.
Yeah.
Ipswich counter. Edwards can't beat his man. Downs to Graham cuts in. Dave would call this a can't-be-arsed shot. He's like, I'm in a good position. Doesn't really wrap his right foot around it. So you pointed this out on the preview show, Rich. Irvine and Martin are going to be first-team players in about at the start of October, aren't they? So Irvine comes back in. Kingsley comes out, so Kane goes to left back and Irvine sits to the left-hand side of the 4-2-3-1 there. Bowen slid through. I'm going to be biased here. He was offside. I had a really good view of that, so I'm going to do the football fan. He's offside. Ipswich backline, sixes and sevens, cross it in, scrambled away. Jackson comes in. I made this a 4-4-2, boys. That looked like three lines rather than four when Jackson comes in. So he goes up front with Walters. Great corner from Graham, this one. Smashes it across, and you would add a better view again. Some hole guy nicks that on the near post, and it just goes out there. Waghorn-esque from Graham. Sorry.
It had taken him 20 attempts, though, hadn't it?
Right, yeah. This is so poor. Big kick from Hull. flicked on. So Pennington, who I really like, comes out to win the header and doesn't win it. In goes Bowen into the space again. And this is a good save by Gherkin. So he stands up, which I know you're going to say, wish he'd done that in minute three. But then Bowen had just put it through his legs, wouldn't he? But makes the save right-footed. Pro foul on Jackson from Stewart. We get one of them every game, don't we? Rowe comes in for Edwards. So that's another one to add to the melting pot of the 24 players. I can only think he's saving Edwards because he knows he's going to start all three games. But yeah. I suspect, were you guys thinking Edwards off?
Well, Graham just doesn't look fit, does he? Neither Graham nor Walters seemed, after about an hour, they just seemed to have totally run out of puff. Like, Walters was still trying and still running around, but neither of them looked fit enough yet. And for a manager that makes such a big deal about fitness, it just amazed me. It's like we were leaving on Graham for a set piece.
And he was the only one who was making stuff happen, wasn't he, to be fair? And yeah. I guess the flip side of your argument, Ben, is that presumably Graham will be dropped on Tuesday then, if he's playing the whole... Did he come off? I think he stayed on. No, he didn't. He stayed on,
but
trying to make logic out.
Do you see Eden? Do you see Sears on Tuesday? We'll talk about that. Bowen 1v1 with Chambers. He roasts him. Slightly heavy touch here. Another good save. Gherkin doesn't save it with his hands. It hits his torso, I think. But you know when a goalie times it really well, when it's like, okay, wait. Richard Wright was not good at this actually. It's like wait, go and. Makes a good save there. Chambers gives away another free kick. Bowen swings it over, kind of half shot, half cross. Harrison in for Graham. That looked 4-3-3-ish for the last 5 minutes. Martin comes in for Campbell. And Joe, without swearing, 88 minutes, Hull have got a goal kick. Go for it.
Yeah, goal kick. Guy, I don't know who it is, who wins the first header. No one around him to pick up the second ball from Ipswich, as had been the case all day. Drops to Evandro, who has sort of yards of space to pick a pass. He knocks the ball through. It's not a particularly good pass. Spence has a sort of 2-yard head start, it seems, on him. But rather than rather than make an angle to run at the ball, Spence decides to use his bulk to try and knock Jackson Irvin over and fails dismally. And Irvin just takes a touch and scores. And like I said, I don't know what Spence was doing, because he was ahead of them and he's faster than him. He was ahead of him. He just needed to get across and nod it away, get round and just deal. Sort of big change from the 90th minute at that stadium last year where Spence was a hero.
So my conspiracy theory on what Spence is trying to do is he looks at Gherkin, I think, and I think he thinks Gherkin's further out and Gherkin's going to come and pick the ball up. So he's actually trying to block him and stop him so that Gherkin can come out and hoof it clear. And what he doesn't realise is he's too far away from goal and the ball's not moving fast enough for that to happen.
and the ball doesn't get into the area either, I don't
think.
Oh, my God. I think Irving gets to his touch before it's even in the area. So
I've seen Spence do this before. Spence is a very intelligent man, but there's a touch of the Graham Lassos about him. He loves to play the man.
Just write that one down, Ben. Very intelligent man. Yep.
Oh, have you heard him talk?
He's very eloquent.
He's obviously a smart guy, isn't he? And he likes, I think he likes a battle with a player. And I think he was trying to say to Irvine, look, you know, I'm more wily than you. I'm cleverer than you. And he goes to block him and Irvine just steps round him. It's ridiculous. And I'm always on here standing up for Spence. You know, he came in against Norwich and, oh, okay, 70 grand signing. Everyone would say thumbs up for a 70 grand signing for what he's done and playing centre half. I think he's a bit scapegoat-ish sometimes, but
he doesn't help himself, does he, though, Ben? Come on.
Not with
and
that.
I'm gonna doff my cap to Mikey, and you know, I don't. As we said at the start, I think Danasian should be in that position anyway. I think he has a brain fart in him, and that's my issue. Just two bits that I spotted as well. I don't know if you got, well, two people that I spotted who could have done. Pennington comes a long way out to try and win the header when Skuse is there. So, and I didn't see Chambers anywhere near the action either. Maybe I haven't got a good video angle at it, but I couldn't see Chambers. It was just positioning. Going back to the point we talked about before, winning headers, positions, just really.
I think in their defence, shape-wise, Rich, there, I think it's last 5 minutes, 4-3-3, everybody spread out, get it forward, try and get the equaliser. Yeah. Do we think that if Hurst removes Bielkowski for mistakes, now do Spence and Downs both get dropped?
Yes.
Yeah.
I presume they will be. I don't see that they won't be, but can you really have a team where if you make a mistake, you're going to get dropped every week?
Well, you'll play like you're just scared of making a mistake and not express yourself then, right?
Yeah, it'd be like watching Roy Keane's Ipswich.
Yeah. But we'd argue there are better players not in the team that could fill those positions, aren't there?
Wow. So look, let's just go in general terms on this game. I'm sure we're going to get asked in the Twitter questions, which I haven't overly looked at. My read on this was that every game Ipswich have lost this year, I've cited a mitigating factor. Oh, red card at Sheffield Wednesday, can't defend set plays at Derby, Rotherham created loads of chances, got done by set play. In this game, this is the first one where there's been no improvement from things that have happened before, and there's no mitigating factor. Hull deserved to win. Richard?
Yes. I concur with that. Well, the mitigating factor, I guess, is two crap goals that we could have avoided, I guess. You know, they're not good goals, and Hurst himself said, we don't concede good goals. No one's properly broken us down. We've just, you know, let them through. But yeah, yesterday it felt like a regression. And we'll probably come to your point that you've made a few times, Ben, about you had something going before Norwich and kind of chucked up in the air and we'll start again.
He's confused himself.
Maybe so.
I think the free loan signings at the end of the window have confused him. Yeah. Pennington was obviously required. He's coming for Ensiala. But I think the signings of Graham and Walters have just confused him.
Yeah, I totally agree. And now you've got, I don't know what the combined spend on Harrison and Jackson, but now you've got, well, okay, look, you guys are going to need to wait because John Walters is going to win us some games or whatever. And I don't want to be a grump about Walters, but everyone was really pleased. There was a good story that he came back. But you've all told me his best football was played from the right-hand side, being this bustling, industrious guy. And does he have that much quality on the ball? Is he Daryl Murphy to play up front on his own? I don't even think he's the best person in the squad for that job. I can understand having him in there for his intelligence and ability to, you know, manage players who are less smart than him, but as a number nine on his own?
Yeah, I'd rather see him playing out wide and coming in from there. Like I said, I don't want to belittle his achievement because it's obviously an incredible what he did since he left Ipswich, but ultimately he played a huge amount of games at the Stoke side under Tony Pulis, which were functional at best. He wasn't in there for sort of quality of football. He was in there because he was a bloody hard worker and a really good pro, and he deserves everything he's got, and I'm not sort of trying to make out that he doesn't, but when he was here, I never actually thought he was that good a striker. He was always better on the right. Whenever he had a lot of time to finish, he was never a particularly good finisher. He missed a lot of chances. I remember one away at Norwich in the derby where he's through on goal and he's sort of missed a one-on-one. And those things stick in my mind. And I think with the way that we spent effectively £2.5 million on two strikers, we still can't really work out that left-hand side. Quillan Edwards, by all accounts, at Peterborough, was better on the left. Why don't we try Edwards on the left, Walters on the right, and one of the strikers in the middle?
Quillan Edwards told Andy Warren he prefers to play down the left. That's the player actually saying it. But yeah, interesting times. Richard, I'm going to give a pass to Gherkin. I'm going to give a pass to Knudsen, and you're probably going to disagree with me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Going through the rest of this team. Graham for 10 minutes and Edwards for 10 minutes. And anybody else play well?
No. I wouldn't have given a pass to any. I guess Gherkin made a couple of good saves, I guess, so I can understand that. But as I was going back to this Chambers post-match, I think he was quite right to call out everyone who, you know, we were good in training. We were, you know, we've been working hard for the last 2 weeks and we come and step on the pitch. It just looked like rabbits in the headlights, didn't it? Or maybe like we expected Hull to roll over for us or something yesterday. I didn't think... You know, I've too many touches, too much time on the ball. You know, the players up front, we've seen this with Harrison and Jackson, wanting too much time, thinking that, you know, this good, that Graham chance that he should have swept into the bottom corner. We're just a bit complacent, I think, yesterday. That was my overriding feeling.
Call me naive, and Joe, you'll probably say you saw this 2 weeks ago. And please, no one complain about the analogy I'm going to make if you think it's tasteless. Do you remember when the government put the terror threat up from moderate to severe? Yeah. As soon as that final whistle went yesterday, my threat level
about where this is going went from moderate to severe. Obviously, they could win two games by Saturday, and my threat level will reduce back to medium. But I think a lot of Ipswich fans, optimistic, fine. And I think something's changed since that game, Joe.
Well, I think it was just the actual... It was seen as an easier win. Hull were a poor side on a poor record. And we went there, and they were better than us from the first minute to the last, really. Admittedly, the two goals were gimmies, but there was probably four or five times where just one single pass from a midfielder to Bowen took out our whole team and created chances. We were just cut open sort of time and time again. And if we were playing a better side, they'd have absolutely hammered us. And there's, I don't know, I was concerned with the amount of sort of lower league players that came into the team. But ultimately, there wasn't that many there yesterday. And we just played so naively the whole game. The amount of times where, like, I think the ref was gave a lot of very soft decisions, sort of, not just to Hull, sort of just in general, but we kept giving the ref the opportunity to make those decisions. We kept, when we were pressing, just putting a foot in there. There's one, I'm sure Rich will remember, right down in front of us where the left back is under... He's got nowhere to go. Edwards is right up behind him, and rather than just sort of shepherd him and allow somebody, he just puts a foot in. The linesman's flags, it's a free kick, and I say that has happened time and time again this season. And we were so slow, we were so cumbersome. We didn't get to a second ball all game. And I say I looked at the stats this morning on who scored, and I think we hit our back five were responsible for 67 long balls, of which 18 67. Were successful. Between the back five players, 67 long wow. balls, of which 18 or 19 were successful. And successful is just our guy gets ahead on it. So you've effectively got 70, 50 of them are given away, and 20 of them you've got to win a second ball. And I can't remember five that we won a second ball to. So that's given possession away 60, 70 times in the game.
Feels like his message has got a bit lost since the loan window. Rich, has your threat level gone from medium to severe? I've got to stop using this analogy.
Threat level midnight. Yeah, it has. And I mean, I'm properly invested. Like Stat, I was not happy at the previous regime and definitely supportive of change, and also supportive of the appointment of Hurst and his early actions. I was not necessarily upset with him calling players out at Exeter, though now we're in the proper... Shit, there we go. Boom, swear word. You can't do that again, can you? You can't call out players in the press after a match, after a defeat, because he's already done it in a pretty unnecessary game that doesn't really matter. So I've gone from being fully behind Hurst to thinking, well, I'm not seeing what you're doing here, and I'm worried that you are making life unnecessarily difficult for yourself as well. I tweeted that, you know, there's some stuff where a bit of humility might go a long way. The treatment of Knudsen, Dazelle, Bart, you know, a more clever manager who's more familiar with the level, more familiar with the egos, and, you know, that you don't necessarily find the lower leagues, and treat them a little bit more with kid gloves. But my threat level is gone up a little bit, Ben, I'm not going to lie.
This is one of those situations where I agree with everything you've both said, and I hope you're wrong about all of it. Do you know what I mean? It's, but seven games without a win is seven games without a win. And can I say, I was at Birmingham on Friday night, who also don't have a win, and they're a lot better than us at the moment, you know. But, you know, we had those games against Villa. Look, I'm sure this stuff's going to come up in the tweets, but before we go to the tweets, on possibly the worst day ever to announce this, bottom of the league and the sad passing of Kevin Beattie, finally, the fabled Blue Monday live show is happening and will be on sale from 9 o'clock tonight. So we probably won't even be finished this pod by then. So here's the plan. 24th of November, after the West Bromwich Albion game, we defeat. We have hired the Curve Bar, which is a stone's throw from Ipswich Stadium. So at 7 o'clock, the event's going to start. So you've got time to go and grab some food or what have you beforehand. And we're going to do a live podcast. There's going to be all sorts of fun and games. most of the team are going to be there. Sadly, Richie are in Tenerife and Mikey's at a wedding. But Harry from Bath will be there. Dave will be there. Statman will be there. Joe will be there. I will be there. We'll speak.
Good ones haven't turned up. Good ones haven't turned up. So
we'll speak to some possible special guests. The CV game is returning. If you want to take part live in the CV game and see how hard it actually is when the pressure's on, the CV game will be there. There's rumours of a Statman-style quiz at the end. We'd love to meet. We met a lot of listeners and whatnot at some of the Bristol social thing there. So it's a big social. It's a chance for us to meet you and for people to take part in the podcast. We've been asked to do it for ages, and I just haven't got my act together and booked it. So after the West Brom game, if you want an excuse to go to the West Brom game, I've seen West Brom twice this year, and they're a lot of fun anyway. So please get yourself a ticket. It's eventbrite.co.uk where you'll find the tickets. They're not launched yet. We'll do a thing on Twitter, but we hope it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'd like as many of you to come as possible. So please spread the love, spread the event, and we're going to bang on about it on every podcast until the 24th of November, and we're really, really looking forward to it. Did I miss anything out, boys?
Don't think so.
You don't think so?
Ticket prices?
Oh, I never say that. £8. £8. We have to hire sound people and the venue. So don't think we're...
A bargain.
It costs you £38 to watch Bielsa's Leeds. Actually, that's quite good value, isn't it? Think of a better example. Gordon Ramsay's going to come up again, isn't it? But yes, going to be a great event, and all the details are going to be posted on Twitter at some point later today. Are you ready for some Twitter questions, gentlemen?
Bring it on.
We'll try and rattle through these. Chris Palmer, Joe, do you think Paul Hurst can turn things around? I feel like Knudsen and Chambers aren't playing for him like they should be.
I think he can, but he's going to need to get some wins soon. Like, my concern was up until the Norwich game, I felt quite confident with what he was doing. It seemed like we were going in the right direction. And then the Norwich game was just, we got a point. It wasn't a bad result. It was just the setup of the team. And then that went into yesterday's game where the sort of setup and the way we actually played just seemed so different to what we were trying to do. So hopefully something's got to click. Maybe on Tuesday night, the game where you don't expect it to because you're up against an informed team, you get that win and then hopefully you can kick on from there. But if he doesn't get a win in the next two or three games, I think the damage could almost get to a stage where it becomes irreparable.
Richard, your friend from the previous show, at Yucky Brain, seems as many teams struggle after previous manager leaves them. Is it just a case of getting his style of playing out of the system?
I think there's a bit of that, but... it's a bit of a controversial thought, this, but I think where teams have struggled after the previous manager has left is because they've retained the same playing staff who were very loyal to Mick, because he does foster that loyalty. He does kind of build the team spirit and the style of play where they're really heavily drilled. And then suddenly he's gone and it all falls apart. And the new manager can't really figure out how to get that back working again. So actually Hurst having to do a bit of a squad overhaul actually might work in his favour. Now, the quality we can debate, but actually these are Hurst's players now, so I think that's potentially less of an issue. Whether they're of the standards to compete in the Championship is another question.
Joe, Jack Barham, do you think as soon as we get the first win, we'll start stringing the results together?
I just don't see where the win's coming from at the moment, but if we win on Tuesday, I could see us winning on Saturday. So it's just confidence is such a big thing in football. And I can only say hopefully. I can't say yes. Hopefully we will.
Rich, this is Matthew Noble. Did the loan signings upset Hurst's plan and create unnecessary selection issues?
Yeah, I think we've spoke about that. I think I agree with what Joe was saying there. And the thought about Walters as well, I just to add to that as well, I think... that if we are going to go back to that one up front, then it does, to me, he doesn't work there because he's not mobile enough. And I thought Harrison without the goal had actually done quite well there. We saw Fraser Campbell do that. I don't think Walters can do that on his own. So I think he has given a bit of a headache, and I think maybe Hurst thinks he's probably going to play him because he's a big player. Graham as well. Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Joe, this is Alistair. Hurst has acknowledged that the fitness levels at Ipswich weren't where he needed them and it would take time. Will we ever actually reach the required level now that the matches are coming? If not, when? If not, then what?
Yeah, this is something that was worrying me before the season started, where we were talking about this pre-season where we need to get the players fit. We took this special camp to Spain, double sessions, triple sessions. And then by the time the first game, the second game of the season came round, from the last pre-season friendly, I think only two players were starting, or four players were starting from that. So you've got a team where you've got John Nolan and Ntiala, who were effectively banished from training at Shrewsbury before the deal went through, so haven't had a proper pre-season. You've got John Walters, who's been injured, who wasn't having a proper pre-season. Jordan Graham doesn't look like he's had a proper pre-season. Like I say, so you've made a big play about fitness, but yet we haven't got the players that have had this long pre-season. And why are we not just playing the fittest player and almost giving, yep, John Walters, you've signed, we want to give you 2 weeks sort of hard fitness training before you can be considered to come into the team. Same with Jordan Graham, whether we need to actually get the players up to the right levels, because some of the pressing yesterday, it was just, at one point, it was just John Walters chasing the ball around up front. There was no one going with him. We weren't hunting in packs, and that's what pressing's about. And is it fitness or is it just confidence?
Richard, this is Sam James. Do the team think there is a disconnect between what Hurst and Chambers are saying in public?
Not yesterday, I don't think. The two that went out after the game yesterday, I thought they were both saying pretty similar things, which is we're both at a loss as to why we can look so good in training and have done so well for the last 2 weeks and then rock up to Hull and do that. So I thought they were pretty much on message there. The attitudes and the demeanours were very different though, because Hurst looked very defeated, looked very much like, well, what do I do? I've never had to experience this in my management career. We've generally been quite good up the back and we've generally been quite fit. What do I do? And Chambers was pretty much, well, this is really bad and we should be a bit worried here and we need to sort ourselves out. So I think they were same message but delivered in very different ways.
Joe, this is Peter Carr. A recurring theme so far has been lack of goal threat. What do you think is the main cause of this, and who in the current squad can resolve it?
I just don't think we're passing the ball very well through the lines. And while at Shrewsbury last year, Carlton Morris was their main striker, scored 6 goals in over 30 league starts. The goals were coming from the wide players and John Nolan, effectively. And we need to get the ball into John Nolan or A.N. Other's feet around the edge of the box, where rather than a long ball, sort of trying to pick up scraps and not doing so. So it's just a case of trying to pass the ball through the lines, which allows us to get bodies around the front man and go from there. But ultimately, if we're going to keep going long to one player, we're not going to score goals.
Richard, this is Jonathan Powell. In the past few seasons, we have, when fit, had one or two match winners in our team, Waghorn, McGoldrick, Lawrence Fraser. Who from our current squad can step up to provide the X factor to keep us competitive this season?
I honestly don't know. I think
Edwards?
Yeah, potentially.
And I suppose the hope, yeah. Jordan Graham as well.
And both of those, yeah, I mean, maybe not yesterday for Edwards, but certainly in other games, he's kind of, yeah, definitely lifted us. And Graham, if he'd had better luck in front of goal, maybe could have done so yesterday. But you kind of look at Walters, given his stature, but I just don't think we're using him right, particularly in the system yesterday. So, yeah, I guess the wide players, it's got to be, isn't it? Not seen much of Nolan yet, have we?
And timely that, Rich. This is Tim, friend of the show. Joe, Skews and Nolan didn't seem to work against Norwich. The second half was much better. Are they the root of the creative problem?
I do worry sometimes about Skews. As much as he is a good defensive player, if we are trying to pass the ball quickly out from the back, he has shown he can do that, but he's too often shown that he doesn't do that. He's too often wants to take the extra touch, wants to go back to Chambers, isn't naturally looking forward in the way that Downs didn't look forward yesterday. You want someone like even Chalobah, he does give the ball away often, but his first thought is to pass the ball forwards. And when you hear Chambers talking about the training sessions, Hurst talking about the training sessions, that is what they want. They want people's first thought to pass the ball forwards. And if they can't do that, then they have a look around.
I'll take this one. This is Vandalay Industries. Please, can you tell the media to stop with the nonsense about should Ipswich have kept... Does my head in? No. Let's see. We made a joke about this with the previous manager gag. We only talk about it when we get asked about it. We've got nothing particularly, certain things against the previous manager, but we do get asked about it a lot. It is a frame of reference from the past 5 years, but I think it's now less relevant than it's ever been. This is all about Hurst now and going forward, and with no sense of childishness, worrying about what he's up to is it's the least of our problems.
The easiest way to stop people talking about the previous manager is to start winning games, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And
if we were 12th from the table, no one would be saying anything about him.
No, yeah. And the worse we are and the longer he's out of work, he's gradually turning into Pochettino meets Klopp meets Guardiola, isn't he? The longer, there's that, you go away and you automatically improve. And yeah, well,
I think we have to accept he'll be a bigger story than we are, anyway. Maybe. Generally as well.
Yeah, and it would be the same as us when we do the roundup. We talk in general terms, looking in from the outside on the other clubs, and maybe we're guilty of some of the same generalisations. There you go, guys. Pete Teven, what's our best 11 right now with everyone back from injury?
I'll stick with Hurst's 4-1-4-1 formation and Bart in goal, Donatian right back, Knudsen left back. I'd say Chambers and Enciala centre back. Skous probably sitting in front at the moment for me. Emir Hughes and John Nolan in the middle. Gwion Edwards on the right or on the left. John Walters on the right and either Harrison or Jackson up front.
Can't argue with that.
That sounds quite good when you say it. It sounds a lot different when you put Emir Hughes in the midfield as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the issue. I was interested you said 4-1-4-1, Joe, there, because Walters was isolated yesterday. We've worried that it's the quality of Harrison or Jackson that has caused those strikers to be isolated in that system. But Walters was yesterday as well, so I wonder whether it's just getting everyone up the pitch, and I think Hughes would do that. But I am not a huge fan of 4-1-4-1, if I'm honest.
We need to say thank you to lots of other people for asking questions. We're sorry. We try and read as many as possible. Sometimes this segment goes like 18 minutes or something. So we will stop there. It was certainly an interesting week. Although the landscape will change greatly in the next 6 days as well, won't it? So we can't necessarily dwell too much. Let's go to the roundup, chaps. So we'll try and bash through this. I say it every week, try and bash through quickly, and down goes another 15 minutes. There we go. Joe, Millwall 1, Leeds 1. Leeds so close to their first defeat there.
Yeah, last minute, wasn't it? Almost. Jack Harrison, first goal for the club, and you could tell that meant a lot to Leeds. That was one of those ones where you're having a good season and you manage to dig out a late goal when you've got, I think, the Kemar Roofer's injured, Patrick Bamford's injured, and they had young sort of Tyler Roberts up front on his own, and they're big points they are when you're at the top of the table.
Rich, Brentford 2, Wigan 0. Brentford moving smoothly into second place, ready for Tuesday. Mapai with both goals and 7 for the season.
Yeah, and not good. I'll be honest, the goals they scored as well were both kind of tap-ins from within the six-yard box. But it's just really pass, incisive football, good movement off the ball. I'm really worried, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, Brentford for the last 3 seasons always have the highest number of shots per game. And they're normally out there by quite a distance as well. So, Joe, Bristol City 1, Sheffield United 0. Bristol City go 3rd, 4th win on the trot.
Yeah, and they looked good. I think they looked good value for the win as well. McGoldrick had a chance for Sheffield United, but that was it. And I think Bristol City at home are going to be a force to be reckoned with until their sort of post-Christmas meltdown.
I'm reading this the wrong way round, Rich. I had this the other way. Norwich 1, Borough 0, and I think we all admitted that Pukki was probably
good.
The surprise for Norwich, and he gets the winner. But great win for Norwich, but they've lost Grant Hanley for 6 weeks, so every cloud.
He's not that good, is he, Hanley? Anyway, and that was the kick in up the arse, wasn't it? Kicking the proverbials yesterday when we was walking out of Hull, that they'd won that one. And Borough, I suspect that's probably just a short-term blip, but still chat about whether they like Pulis or not up there. Seems a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, very much so. Swansea 0, Forest 0. Is this more cautious Karanka, Joe?
I just don't think he's that good a manager, Karanka. he did well with Middlesbrough, but you sort of see the turnover he's had at Forest of players, the amount of money they've spent, and they've got rid of some of their promising young players. He just doesn't give them a chance, and I don't think he'll last particularly long there. I can't see him there in 3-4 months' time.
Very interesting. This is brilliant, Rich. Rotherham 1, Derby 0. So Rotherham now have got 3 1-0 wins at home and 9 points, and we all love Paul Warne, don't we? And one of my favourites, Tom Lawrence, gets a red card and Lampard gets himself sent off. This is great banter.
Great banter from Frank Lampard to Derby. Yeah, did you see the Lawrence red card? Absolute shocker. You know, the kind of stuff that we saw when
Tom Lawrence.
He was really capable of being a really nasty piece of work, though, wasn't he?
When he
was
on loan goals.
Yeah, okay. But Tom Lawrence, you're saying Tom Lawrence is the championship Paul Scholes, are you?
Wind this back. This is the great thing about doing this. Wind this back and you'll find I never said that.
The Welsh Paul Scholes. So he hacks a guy in from on the sideline. It was proper bad. And then Lampard himself got sent off as well.
What was Lampard doing?
He said I was sent off for going outside my technical zone, but our assistant manager should have been sent off, and so should their manager, because they went out of the zone. And then they showed a video of it, and he was 40 yards outside.
He's the away end, wasn't he?
Down by the linesman.
I'm sorry, more of this from Lampard, and I'm going to really... He's going to be our new Neil Lennon, isn't he? Brilliant. I'll do this one, guys, because I was at the game. Birmingham 1, West Brom 1. Birmingham should have murdered them about 5-0. Birmingham scored on, I think, 26, then missed the penalty. Then Che Adams smashed one over the bar, and then Matt Phillips scored a very goal with some very dubious marking by the Birmingham left back Pedersen. And then they missed another two chances in the second half, two good ones, Birmingham. And then Barnes hit the bar for West Brom. They could have lost it right at the end. But certainly a lot of pointers, Rich, for the preview for Birmingham. It's the 29th, isn't it? Very solid. Gardner and Keith Dumbell do not move. Back four. Fullbacks don't go forward too much. And the two wide players really cut inside. And the two forwards, first line of defence, they drop right back. So
they're really organised, aren't they? And I was really pleasantly surprised with how solid they were. And actually how good their squad is, actually. Well, their first team, their first 11 is pretty tight, isn't it? Yotta looks good as well.
Yeah, and they haven't won a game. Interesting. Wednesday 2, Stoke 2, Joe. A Afobe early brace, Bannon late equaliser. I'm just so surprised by this Wednesday winning streak. They're one of the poorest teams I've seen this year, and they've just won 3 and drawn 1 of the last 4.
That's a lovely goal from Bannon. That was my only takeaway from the match. Little dinked for a kick over the wall in off the post. Keeper didn't move.
Lovely stuff.
Slow motion, wasn't it, that? It was just nice little ding off the post. Yeah, perfect.
What did they say when Koeman scored that free kick against England? He's going to flick one. He's going to flick one. Oh, beautiful. Rich, Bolton 1. Actually, I'll give this one to Joe because Villa's coming up. Bolton 1, Joe. Rangers 2. I had a home win all day long for this one. So good work from McLaren.
Yeah, first QPR win for a long time on the road. I think it's 8 or 9 games since they've won on the road. They looked good value for it. Sort of create some good chances, good goal. Naki Wells looking very sharp up to top of QPR. But the whole team was looking sharp in that lovely pink away kit that they had.
Okay, wasn't it?
Rich, Blackburn 1, Villa 1. Draw all day long, Mowbray v Bruce. Tammy Abraham. I love Tammy Abraham. He's money. He's like Dwight Gale in the Championship, isn't he? That's 25 goals before you even started, isn't it?
Tammy Abraham and... Yannick Malassi on the bench. I mean, bloody hell, Bruce.
McGinn,
I mean,
Grealish, Codger. He's got
and
to
you're
take
playing
Yedinakis anyway.
He's under pressure. I mean, speaking to people that I Villa fans I know up here and on Twitter as well, he is under serious pressure. And to be honest, I think second half was a bit more even. First half, it looked like Blackburn were all over him. Dak having all kinds of fun doing a Jermaine Wright-esque spin against Leeds, if you remember that. I couldn't think of what that was called, and the only one I could think of was Jermaine Wright. And I've got
against Arsenal. He did the spin.
That was Arsenal. Good point. Yeah, it was.
I've not heard a word. You said under pressure twice, and my head is just going dido dido. I'm just singing Under Pressure in my head a lot. Last one, Joe. What are Preston doing? Equalised twice against Reading, who, by all accounts, who, according to most people, are terrible. And Preston are 23rd now.
Yep, they're nearly as bad as we are.
But, literally.
But Preston missed a few decent chances. I think they had a couple of headers at Barclays and had a couple of chances, but they didn't score. And Reading just... When they went forward, they seemed to cut Preston open, and they were a really solid team last year under
Barkhouse,
Neil.
I don't know
what's happened.
Pearson are all really good as well.
Yeah, no, I actually backed them for the top six. So
good luck with that. What I know. do I have to do this extrapolation? Ipswich are 24th with 3 points from 7 games. That's 0.42 points per game, projecting a Rotherham-esque 19 for the season. No change of goals or assists. Only two players, quite predictably, on full minutes. Knudsen and Chambers, and 24 players
your
used.
Face, for those who are listening, Ben's face has just dropped completely.
Oh,
look
no.
at that.
Well, it's going to pick up, Rich, because we're going to Two Little Ducks, where you two get to squirm on the internet. Lovely stuff. Two Little Ducks, we know the rules by now. We have a game from the annals of Ipswich Town history. Rich and Joe are going to name as many of the 22 players that started this game as they can. They have to name them consecutively. If they get a player who did not start or was not a used sub, they are out. A used sub does not count to their total. Both Rich and Joe may play their golden goose at any time, meaning... if they suggest that Queen bassist John Deacon appeared for Exeter in the 1998 League Cup game between Ipswich and Exeter, but they play their golden goose, John Deacon will not lose them the points. I've lost it, boys. I've lost it. Are you ready for this? I reckon if you were that way inclined, Rich, I know you're a bit of a preparer, aren't you? I reckon you might have prepared this game. Oh, no, he's going to get loads. Oh, he's right. Here comes a full house because we're going to the 6th
no,
of March.
Be. My memory's appalling.
We're going to the 6th of March 2007, and Rich has figured out which game I'm going to pick. Hull 2, Ipswich 5. Wow, I've been caught out here, haven't I? So have a couple of seconds to figure that out. If you're listening now, go to eventbrite.co.uk where you can buy tickets for Blue Monday Live on Saturday the 24th of November after the West Brom game. If you don't ace this now, Rich, you know all the answers, then...
He might be let down by me, though.
No, I'm having an absolute shocker here.
Well,
remembering
he can just tell
it.
You the answers and then you say them, Joe. Right, who wants to go first?
I'll get one out of the way then. Francis Jeffers.
Francis Jeffers, one. Rich?
Lewis Price.
he's going to go down the order, too.
I've got to be terrible on this one. I don't really remember. I've just got a feeling, Rich, did Danny Haynes score a goal in this game?
Good shout.
Yeah, Danny Haynes.
Used sub. Used sub. You so sub. He doesn't count towards your score, but you're still in.
Boaz Myhill.
Yep, that's three. Play your golden goose if you're not sure, Joe, or ask Rich, who knows all the
Rich,
answers.
What do you reckon? Dan Harding? I just remember
Oh,
the
yeah, that sounds good to me. One. That sounds good. Yeah.
Dan Harding,
four.
Damien Delaney? For Hull.
For Hull, what yes, indeed.
Delaney.
Five.
Jason DeVos?
Yep, six.
David Wright? Right.
Seven. Actually, no, yep. I'm going to take that off you. He's only called David Wright. Have you heard Ian Wright? I remember someone on 606 saying
half Falcon.
Yeah. Ian Wright's fed up of that chant. He said, "My name's not Ian Wright, right. It's Ian Wright, for goodness sake. Can you just say it once?" Where are we, Joe? Seven.
I'll do Golden Goose on Gary Roberts.
Bam. Hey, didn't need to play that. Beautiful.
Dean Windass.
How old was Dean Windass then?
He was on the pitch at halftime yesterday in a very lovely
There's
suit.
Pictures of him everywhere as well in Hull. Nine.
Was Nick Barmby playing then, Rich?
I don't recall seeing him in the Hull squad, I'll be honest, but possibly.
No. I'll go with...
Rich can help you here if you need it, Joe.
One of them, one of our players is playing for us at the moment.
John Walters.
He's a sub, wasn't he?
He's a used sub, so we can switch back over to Rich. We're still on nine. I have to hold my fingers up to do this.
Legwinski.
Yep, 10.
That's who I was actually going to say the last go round. Who would have been up front? Franny Jeffers. Alan Lee.
Very good, 11.
Ashby for Hull.
Yeah, 12. Ian Ashby, he used to play for Cambridge, didn't he?
I couldn't even tell you any more Hull players at the moment now. Where are we? Any clues?
Left-footed centre midfielder, Dave loves him.
Stephen Quinn.
We're out. Owen Garvin was giving you the clue. So we're all out there. Oh, no, Rich, you can keep going, can't you?
I've not got too many more, to be honest. And I even looked at it just beforehand, so that tells you how good my memory is.
I need to up my game here. Let's go through this. So, look, that's a very respectable...
Bruce, was he in there?
Okay, you can have that one, 13.
Let's leave it at lucky 13, shall we?
I really had a chance to say, Bruce, yes! Unbelievable, then. But I chose not to.
From our award-winning video.
Absolutely. My Hill, Ricketts, Coles, Delaney, Dawson, Parler. Is that Ray Parler?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Wow.
He was having a traipse.
He was having to traipse down the lower leagues to pay his divorce settlement.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ashby, Marnie, Forster, Elliot, Windass, Price, Wright, DeVos, Bruce Harding. The one Ipswich player you didn't get, Jamie Peters, which I think has caught someone out before on here, hasn't
he? I thought we'd said him, but yeah, he was
Garvin,
on my...
Legwinski, Roberts, Jeffers, Lee. Very good, but Rich, you kind of ruined it by doing the research before, didn't you?
You were predictable. How about that?
I'm extremely predictable.
And I was absolutely shocking last time with Mikey. So I thought...
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's torture. So I thought, I can't let that happen again.
Yeah,
and I've still not got full 23, though. So
have you noticed? That's why I always do the hosting gig and never play. Because I'm just going to be awful.
23rd or 24th of November, whatever it is, table should be turned.
No. The audience are going to play the CV game. 23rd of November, eventbrite.co.uk, Blue Monday live. Get your tickets now. Let's move on. Richard, Brentford on Tuesday. Brentford are the best team I've seen play this season. I saw them pick apart Sheffield Wednesday very easily at Griffin Park. Project's been building for ages. I used to love Ryan Woods. He's been sold, but they weren't playing him. It was McEachran and another midfielder beginning with M, whose name I can't remember. Mapai's now scoring, and Watkins, and they've got this guy Ben Rama as well, who's just come into the team. He looks a bit X-Factory. Mepham's great at centre-back. Bjelland and the other fullback whose name I can't remember actually get forward like ours are supposed to. And the goalie's good as well, Bentley. Anything to add to that?
Yay! I'm glad that I'm watching it on the red button, which means I can turn it off.
The championship's unpredictable. That's the only hope we have.
I was going to go there, Joe. Go on, you do it.
Yeah, it's unpredictable. It's a bonkers league. This is where we hope it is when we can actually win a game where you look at it and think, what hope in hell have we got in this game?
It's the first one really this season, isn't it? I mean, I was worried about Villa, but got a draw out of that one. Brentford, famed for high possession stats, high shots, moved the ball around. Lovely. Does it in some way play into our favour that we can do an underdog game and try and press them and we can say, right, they're going to do that so we can... We can work off that as the basis for our tactics, Rich?
Yeah, but first off, we've got to be up for it, which we weren't on Saturday, were we? So if you hope that everyone gets a bit of a kick up the arse, I think absolutely that might play into our hands, that force them up the pitch, force the mistake, and try and score a bloody goal. Do you know what I mean?
Team-wise, Joe, what are you expecting?
I've no idea at the moment, but I think it might help not having a lot of the ball. I think we struggle when we have a lot of the ball to actually make things happen. If we're getting it sort of few and far between, trying to catch them on the counter-attack, we might actually be a bit better, because a number of our chances yesterday were when they had committed men forward and sort of Graham and Knudsen had a bit of joy down the left-hand side. So hopefully it'll be a case where it just goes like that again.
Rich, surely they're going to play
more.
They
push on and we can hit them on the break. And
yeah, surely something. They're going to play more open than most other teams we've played, surely.
Yeah. I'd really like to see Eden come back in because of that. I think he was really good at kind of getting stuck in and breaking stuff up and actually then getting forward and bombing on. And maybe it's the game for Harrison as well. You know, he likes to chuck himself about a bit as well. But I'm not expecting much. So I'll be pleasantly surprised if we get a point and then focus on Saturday, which is obviously eminently more winnable, hopefully.
Yeah, and you and Harry are going to deal with that on Thursday, Friday, whenever that show drops. So look out for Rich and Harry on the preview show later in the week. Rich, where can we find you on Twitter?
At IpsRich.
Joe, you might be back on very soon, actually. So where can people find you on Twitter?
At Joe Fares.
And obviously, look out for this this week in ITFC history special, all about Kevin Beattie, who died today, age 64. That's going to be soon, I think, possibly recording tomorrow night. We'll figure that out. Please get your memories of Kevin Beattie in. Now, Rich, you made a little video based on when we first started the pod in 2015, just to get the thing going. Dave did a top 10 all-time Ipswich player. Beattie was his number one, and you kind of cobbled together some of Dave's comments. Tell us about the video, because we're going to play out with that.
Yeah, I'm quite like at the moment, just trying to find pieces of music to stick stuff to, and so we've used kind of the old Chestnut of Queen, and but yeah, it's just the video from. I really recommend it. We'll probably try and stick a link out on the Twitter as well to go and listen to the bio, because it's just Dave's commentary and Dave's words that kind of bring it out.
The enthusiasm and the love, yeah.
Absolutely right, and you know, for the likes of us who never saw him in the flesh, to hear the way that Dave was describing him, kind of a more powerful, a more kind of direct Maldini or what have you. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult for us to fathom, given what we've just been talking about for an hour or so about the current crop. You know, it hasn't always been like this. We have been a team of stature with amazing players. And unfortunately, yeah, we've lost a really important one there. So, yeah, hopefully people enjoy the video. A few montage photos from his career with Ipswich in England.
Great stuff. So we're going to play out with that in a minute. Joe, say goodbye.
See you later.
Rich, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
And this is our tribute to Kevin Beattie, who died today, age 64. Goodbye from me.
So think of Maldini and think of a player quicker.
Right.
Stronger. And three times as good in the air. The best player I've ever seen in the air.
Right.
Honestly, you cannot compare him with anyone. He's incredible. And you know, when the thing is that he came into that Ipswich side, he was only 18. I mean, and played in that. It was a settled back four then.
Was he a big guy when he was 18? Still,
he was 6 foot, I guess, but powerful, big legs, he's strong. You know, yeah. And probably the strongest left foot. I mean, no, the best left foot is still probably for me is probably Murin, but the strongest left foot I've ever seen.
Is he the greatest player you've ever seen play in terms of opposition?
Oh, well, that's a tough one, Ben. No, I'd have to think about that. It'd certainly be up there, but it'd be close, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to think about, yeah, including opposition as well. Bloody hell. It'd be close, yeah.
Incredible. But, yeah, just hard for...
He would have won. I mean, you can't say he would, but, you know, thinking... So he retires at 28, so is he... He probably reached his peak. 28 is the 82 World Cup finals. We've got to say, you know, if he stayed fit, you know,
two more World Cups.
Two more. Cliche, we'll never see the like again.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.